Friday, fellow Americans. I'm delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. I want to begin with some blunt and frank talk. I am not always right. I make mistakes. I never try to lie knowingly. I don't want to lie to my audience. And when I make a mistake, when I say something that's not true, I try to correct the record. Oftentimes within the same show. My frustration that I have with a lot of where conservative media space is today is that people just don't care. They know they can lie with impunity, get you worked up about stuff, and they never have to say they're sorry because our attention spans are so short that you'll forget and you'll move on. I try to be accurate. And what I have found is that the herd, oftentimes on the left and the right, bullies people into going in a direction that isn't true. Bullies anyone who tells them they're not telling the truth. And then when they don't tell the truth, well, they move on to something else. And try to justify their lies to you. A very good example was the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce rumor. And by bringing this up, what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to email me and say, you just can't let it go, can you? You just can't let it go. But it's a perfect example of the phenomenon I'm talking about. There were people on social media who insisted that at the Super Bowl, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were going to get engaged on the field and endorse Joe Biden. It was all a plot. They weren't actually in a relationship. It was all to help Joe Biden. There were conservatives who said this on social media. And when those of us who knew it wasn't true pointed out this is just nonsense conspiracy, we were attacked and people tried to justify it. Well, how can you say it wasn't true? You don't really know. It sounded credible to me. And you know they could have just changed the dynamic. It was going to happen until we exposed it. Being a liar in conservative media means never having to say you're sorry because you'll develop a cult following and those people will protect you and attack anyone who points out you're not telling the truth because they would rather be on the side of the liar than on the side of truth. And this happens on the left as well. The left has invested enormous energy to tell all of us that what we were seeing with our own eyes with Joe Biden wasn't true. If you will recall, after the Robert Hur report came out, Robert Hur was the special prosecutor. Robert Hur determined that Joe Biden was mentally incompetent to stand trial due to his old age and mental infirmities. No jury would find him guilty, so Robert Hur believes he broke the law but couldn't be prosecuted. The Democrats attacked. The press attacked. The press corps of the United States of America attacked Robert Hur, saying that he was interfering in politics by saying something like this. And Democrats defended Joe Biden, who held the press conference and got the presidents of Egypt and Mexico mixed up. But don't believe your lying eyes. He didn't actually get them messed up. He was saying two different things, and he has a stutter. He's got a speech impediment. Don't you know? How dare you suggest it? The Democrats have been involved in this great lie, too. You had the Republican conspiracy theorists with the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce nonsense, and you got the Democrats and their nonsense. And no one gets held accountable. You know, the Wall Street Journal rushed out and said that multiple people behind the scenes have told Joe Biden or have said that Joe Biden didn't have the mental wherewithal to be president of the United States. And they were assailed. They were attacked. They were vilified, saying, you couldn't get anybody on record. All the people on record told you otherwise. How dare you run this poorly sourced story? They stood by the story. They stood by the story. And they were proven right. And it turns out that Democrats have privately known the whole time that Joe Biden is not in his right faculties and should not be running for president of the United States. But they circled the wagons. They circled the wagons. They refused to do what was right while lecturing Republicans about doing what was right. So now what's going to happen? Well, first, I need to say that a lot of conservative social media influencers want you to know that they have sources in the Democratic Party who are assuring them Joe Biden is going to get out of the race. None of them have Democratic strategist friends talking to them. I know because I talk to the Democratic strategist friends that they claim to have, and the Democratic strategists are actually pretty furious that Joe Biden is not stepping out of the race. They think he should. They know he's not going to, at least yet. If you want to get Joe Biden out of the race, you need Nate Cohen from the New York Times to release a New York Times Siena College poll that shows there's no way he can win the race. Joe Biden will listen to Nate Cohen. But Joe Biden, above all else, listens to Joe Biden or listens to Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. And on Friday, Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe said Joe Biden, he loves him, but he needs to get out of the race. But today, instead, Mika Brzezinski was circling the wagons, touting Joe Biden's achievements.
Yet once again, Biden found a way up from rock bottom. South Carolina gave his campaign new life, and he secured the Democratic nomination, and the rest is historic, literally. As president, his legislative wins are unmatched this century. The American Rescue Plan to help the recovery from COVID, the bipartisan infrastructure law to rebuild the country, the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the first legislative action on guns in decades, and the CHIPS and Science Act. He expanded health care for veterans through the PACT Act. He signed marriage equality into law, and he got the Inflation Reduction Act passed to address the rising costs of living and deliver historic action on the climate. He appointed and got confirmation of the first black woman to the...
I'm sorry, it sounds like this is turning pornographic. I should stop playing any more of that. That's Mika Brzezinski. Essentially, we got to remember all the good Joe Biden's done. We need to stand by our man. It is the Democrats going into Tammy Wynette mode. They're circling the wagons around the Democrats. David Ignatius pointed out as much this morning on Morning Joe.
Let's turn now to David Ignatius. And David, of course, you wrote a piece months ago about Joe Biden's age. I think you and I disagreed vehemently, and I think we're going to disagree again. Having said that, what's your latest reporting on what you're hearing about this situation with the president? And do you agree the president needs to reassure Americans whether or not this was an episode versus sort of a sign of things to come?
So, Mika, what I'm hearing, what we're all seeing is that the Biden family, the inner circle around the president are, to use the usual phrase, circling the wagons. They're resisting what they see as ill-considered advice that he withdraw from the race. I always remind myself, Mika, that the president's inner circle feels that he's always underestimated, that people have never given him the credit that he deserves. They've often been in situations where they were seen as behind, the battle was hopeless, and they end up usually coming through and prevailing. So that psychology is at work here, I think. They remind themselves, in the past, people told us we couldn't do it and they were wrong.
We're going to hear this a lot. We're going to hear a lot more of this. I want to tell you what to look for. If the New York Times Siena College poll comes out and it's brutal, Biden may reconsider and drop out. But until that happens, and it's going to be a few weeks until we get that, you're going to start hearing signs of circling the wagons around Joe Biden. And what will that look like? One, you're going to hear, like Mika Brzezinski this morning called on the Biden team to fire people at the campaign. You'll hear that. Next, what you will hear is talk about the ground game. You will hear a lot of talk about the ground game. For example, the polling in Virginia suggests, even in Virginia, there's a very close race. The Biden team has 10 operatives on the ground doing the ground game, and the Trump team has zero. You're going to hear a lot about that in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, about the Biden team's superior ground game. This will be the way the Democrats rationalize keeping Joe Biden in the race, that though people may see his frailties, his vote will turn out and Donald Trump's will not turn out. You're also going to hear the Democrats rapidly pivot to making this a case against Donald Trump. They will play up the Supreme Court's case today, Trump versus United States, and claim, look, the Supreme Court says that Donald Trump could assassinate his political rivals. Can you really trust him going back into power? Now, that's not true. That's not what they ruled, but that's what the Democrats will say, because that's what Sonia Sotomayor wrote in her dissent, saying that this is so, even though it's not. This, my friends, is where all of these things are headed. You're going to hear a lot of talk about the money advantage. You're going to hear a lot of talk about the ground game. You're going to hear a lot of talk about the staff shakeup. And you're going to hear a lot of talk about loyalty from the Democrats. They will have Barack Obama on the campaign trail. They will have Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton where they can be helpful on the campaign trail. And all of those are signs Joe Biden plans on going nowhere. Doesn't matter what your conservative social media influencer friends are telling you that their sources are saying. Look at what's happening right now on MSNBC, where they're walking back their concerns from Thursday night and Friday morning. Look at what's happening in the New York Times, where they're beginning to try to rationalize Joe Biden staying in the race. Look at what's happening with Democratic politicians. None of them are coming out saying Joe Biden should drop out. In fact, they've trotted out Wes Moore, as I showed you earlier, the governor of Maryland. They've trotted out Raphael Warnock, the senator from Georgia. They've trotted out John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania. All of them say, no, he should go nowhere. Jim Clyburn from South Carolina say, no, he should go nowhere. And then there's this. Reality will set in that he can't go anywhere because an open convention would be a disaster for the Democratic Party. Kamala Harris is the only one who can get the money. She's less popular than Joe Biden. She's his insurance play. Telling you that Joe Biden is going to drop out, and that's what my sources say, is easy because you'll never hold that person accountable for being wrong on that. The truth is that though the herd looks at all of it and states the obvious, because it's obvious Joe Biden should drop out. It's obvious Joe Biden doesn't have the capacity to do this. So obviously he's going to drop out. No. Every obvious thing that should happen in this campaign has not happened, and that's another reason why you should expect him to stay in the race. I'm not saying Joe Biden will not drop out of the race. He should. He absolutely should. When something can't continue, it doesn't. That's what James Carville said yesterday. The problem is Joe Biden actually can continue. He's got a lot of money in the bank. And no major Democratic politician wants to come out and be seen as disloyal. He should not continue, but he can continue. And the reality will, unless public polling dramatically goes in a different direction, he's staying in. And the Biden team's gamble at this moment, just a few days after the debate, is that the country's mind is largely made up and he needs to just turn his ground game out. That in a 50-50 election, he can still win. If that dynamic fundamentally changes over the next few weeks with some big credible polling, yeah, he might drop out. But anyone telling you the decision's already been made is just telling you what they think you want to hear, and it's not true. The decision has not been made. In fact, to the extent a decision has been made, it's to stay in, double down, and make it all about Donald Trump. So get ready to hear all about Donald Trump from the press and the ground game from the Democrats and the money advantage and the like.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Greetings. When we come back, the Trump campaign and the Biden campaign have both released new ads. I have them. I will play them for you. But first, I want to go to the phone. Steve, calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome. Steve? Hi there.
Yeah, hey. Hey, Eric. This is Steve.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call. And listen, we really appreciate your show and helping to educate us.
Thank you.
I had a couple of questions, Eric, about the presidency.
Okay.
First off, when President Trump was in office, he got COVID. And then also after the January 6th event, all of the news medias all across the country on both of those occasions, COVID, they talked about the 25th Amendment. And
right.
We're not hearing anything about that right now with President Biden. And I just don't understand why.
Because it was all a political hackery attack on Donald Trump. They were never meant to take it seriously. It's just things they said that they wanted to attack us about. Yep.
Well, I felt like that the news media is not doing a service right now in pointing out the 25th Amendment could be used to get him out of the office.
Well, You're right, and Steve, I got to let you go there because I got a commercial break here. But the issue is that Kamala Harris would have to be the one to deploy it. That's the way it's written, and nobody believes she'll do that. So that's why they're not really talking about it. Now, look, with all this political instability out there, it's causing market instability as well. You got the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, the BRICS buying up the gold out there. Swiss America has been the trusted leader in precious metals for 40 years, and they've been talking about the secret war on cash that's out there, and part of that has to do with everybody buying up the gold reserves. If you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned cash from this war on cash, you need to get this report, The Secret War on Cash, from Swiss America. They're rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau, and they can educate you on protecting your assets. Call them at 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. You can also text them at 800-289-2646. Mention my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K. The Ally War on Cash includes digital forms of currency. Just mention Eric, E-R-I-C-K, when you go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric or call or text 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, because the truth is what matters. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hi there. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Delighted to have you guys with me across the nation today. Hope the weather's great where you are. I have the ads. The Trump campaign and the Biden campaign have both released new ads in light of the debate. Here now is Donald Trump's advertisement.
When you think about the Joe Biden you saw in the debate, ask yourself a question. Do you think the guy who was defeated by the stairs, got taken down by his bike, lost a fight with his jacket, and regularly gets lost, makes it 4 more years in the White House? And you know who's waiting behind him, right? Vote Joe Biden today, get Kamala Harris tomorrow.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Oh, making it all. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, everybody knows Joe doesn't have the wherewithal to make it 4 more years of the most stressful job on planet Earth. Well, here now is the Biden campaign response to that ad.
Did you see Trump last night? I mean it sincerely. The most lies told in a single debate. He lied about the great economy he created. He lied about the pandemic he botched. And then his biggest lie. He lied about how he had nothing to do with the insurrection of January 6th. We all saw with our own eyes.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you.
We saw police being attacked, the Capitol being ransacked. He did not a single thing to stop it, nothing. Folks, I know I'm not a young man, but I know how to do this job. I know right from wrong. I know how to tell the truth. And I know, like millions of Americans know, when you get knocked down, you get back up. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Now, here's what's so notable about Joe Biden's ad. He shows clips of Donald Trump on the debate stage and at the rally for January 6th. And it takes Joe Biden's clips from his speech where he is very clearly reading a teleprompter. The problem for the Biden campaign is while that may be an effective ad for the base, after what the public saw on Thursday night, I'm not sure that the public will look at that ad and do anything other than what I did. Wait a second. He's reading a teleprompter. He can't freeform that sort of speech. Now, I'm a little biased because of my skill set. Y'all, I know what the fruits of the Spirit are. I do. But I think I got to add to the fruits of the Spirit my ability to talk unscripted for 3 hours. I was telling my pastor this, that I really, in all honesty, when I started doing talk radio, my very first week in talk radio, an ice storm hit Atlanta. This was not the 2014 Snowpocalypse. This was 2011. An ice storm hit Atlanta, and I was stuck sleeping on the floor of the studio for several days. Did not have phones, could get no callers. My board operator turned out to be an alcoholic and he passed out. And on my very first night or second night on air, I was on air talking nonstop for about 40 minutes because there was no, I to this day have no idea how to trigger commercials. And that guy, the last thing I saw of him was him eyes rolling back in his head and him falling backwards in the control room. I the only time I ever met the guy who was supposed to be my producer slash board op, my first week on the job. And my boss at the time, they called him the pig farmer, WSB, Pete Spriggs. He called me at the end of that week. I had no telephones and limited access to the internet and was doing 5 nights a week, 3 hours every night, sleeping on the floor of a studio the first couple nights till I could make it to a hotel. And he said, congratulations, you were able to talk for 3 hours with no help, no audio, no phone calls. I think you'll do fine. I honest to goodness assumed that everybody could do it. It was only when I put a guest host on air one day who was a friend of mine who really wanted to do talk radio, and 30 minutes in, he was done. In all honesty, I had no idea that people couldn't just sit down behind a microphone. There are some people who think I have a script or read a teleprompter. Nope, it's just off the top of my head. And you can ask Philip and Charlie, and they will tell you God's honest truth that 9 out of 10 days I sit down at the microphone and it goes live, and I am only just figuring out what I'm going to talk about. Maybe I should tell you, they've done all the research, I've done all the prep. I just reorganize the show constantly in my head until I decide at the very last minute, this is the most important thing to start the show with. So I say all of that to say, this isn't bragging about me, it's just, I can look at Joe Biden on stage and he's got to read a teleprompter and think, I could do that off the top of my head. But here's the thing, a politician should be able to do it off the top of his head. Ronald Reagan was brilliant. Now, Ronald Reagan's a gold standard. Remember, he was at the event and the balloon popped after his assassination and he just spontaneously says, missed me, and the crowd went wild. Bill Clinton could do it. George W. Bush could do it. He would trip over his words, but he could do it. Obama could do it. Donald Trump is a master of speaking off the top of his head. Donald Trump could do a radio show. Donald Trump could sit here for 3 hours with no commercial breaks. Joe Biden can't utter a single sentence without a teleprompter, and it's so obvious in his ad. Every time his head looks, he's not looking at the camera. He's looking to his side at a teleprompter. And the public sees it for themselves now. The Democrats and the press corps, the American press corps, spent an inordinate amount of time lecturing Americans, gaslighting us about Joe Biden. What is gaslighting? I'm going to read for you from Wikipedia because it explains it the best, but it was a very famous movie called Gaslight. Set among London's elite during the Victorian era, it portrays a seemingly genteel husband using lies and manipulation to isolate his heiress wife and persuade her she's mentally unwell so he can steal from her. The term gaslighting itself is neither in the screenplay nor mentioned in either the film or the play in any context, the play in which it's based. In the story, the husband secretly dims and brightens the indoor gas-powered lighting, but insists his wife is imagining it, making her think she's going insane. To gaslight us is to try to tell us not to believe what we're seeing, that it's not true. It became a term the Democrats employed against Donald Trump in 2016, that Donald Trump was gaslighting us. And yet here are the Democrats who have been doing the same thing, if not more so, about Joe Biden, telling us that what we were seeing wasn't true. They were cheap fakes. They were deep fakes. They were edited. They were taken out of context. That it's all lies. It hasn't been a lie. It's been true. The whole time, it's been true. Joe Biden has been declining before our eyes, and the Democrats have lied about it. The Democrats who insist the big lie is Donald Trump and the stolen election, the big lie is actually Democrats telling us the man with the nuclear codes does not have dementia. Scott Jennings talking about the 25th Amendment on CNN.
Yeah, I think you can't wish it away. I think you can't call it a bad night. I don't think you can compare it to anybody's previous bad debate performances. It's unlike anything we've ever seen in presidential campaigns. The deterioration of Joe Biden over 4 years is painfully obvious to everyone. To me, it really goes beyond the campaign. I mean, there's reporting this morning about from Axios about Joe Biden's closest aides working very hard to shield access to him from virtually everyone over the last 3.5 years. I think people don't really just have questions about the campaign today. I think they have questions about how the White House is running right now. I think they have questions about whether he can do the job today, let alone for 4 more years. And guys, I'm old enough to remember when Donald Trump, you know, was having trouble picking up a glass of water and walking down a slippery ramp, and folks were wanting to invoke the 25th Amendment. Now, to me, what we saw Thursday night, he's not just a candidate. He's the president right now. And so a lot of people I talk to want to know, what's going on in there, and is he up to the task?
Yes. Is he up to the task now? Look, I mean, this actually is a problem for the Democrats. If Joe Biden addresses the nation and says, I've decided not to run again, the question is, why are you still there? If you're not fit for January of next year, why are you fit for right now? We, the nation, have been being gaslit by the Democrats and the American Press Corps. The American Press Corps is complicit in this. That's why the New York Times editorial board rushed out to call him to get out of the race, because they've got to act surprised. They go, what? We had no idea. You knew the whole time. All of you people on MSNBC, you've known the whole time. And you lied to us. You gaslit us. You did to us what you've claimed Donald Trump has done to us, which means you're no better than Donald Trump and probably even worse, because you claimed he was doing it while you were doing it. You have become what you said Trump was. I have said every person listening to this program has heard me say this. Donald Trump's ultimate superpower is that he makes his opponents behave in the same way they claim he behaves. Doesn't matter whether or not he actually behaves that way. They claim he does, and they're the ones who do it. Every single person who opposes Donald Trump winds up behaving exactly the way they claim he behaves. The Democrats said Donald Trump was gaslighting us. They've been gaslighting the hell out of us about Joe Biden, who's declining, who has dementia. The whole world sees it, and now we know European leaders have been worried about him for a while. Asian leaders have been worried about him for a while. Democrats in Washington have been concerned. His staff has been shielding him, and Jill Biden has been protecting him the entire time. They have lied to us. And still, the arrogance and the stubbornness of a man with a massive chip on his shoulder. Joe Biden's not getting out of the race unless he's forced to. And he'll only be forced to if there's a massive shift in the polling in the race. So those of you Democrats, you probably want Nate Cohen to do it. And by the way, Democrats, if you really want to get Joe Biden out, if you're really privately alarmed, you should be working with Republicans to get special counsel Robert Hur's audio out there. You, all of you in the House of Representatives, you voted to block the audio from being released. You should change your mind and work to get that audio out there. And if it's leaked by the Justice Department, we know it's an inside job, people trying to leak to expose him. Get that out there as quick as you can. All right. Now, I got to tell you about Old Glory Bank, because Old Glory Bank has a new crowdfunding platform that I'm excited to use, Old Glory Alliance. You know, a lot of crowdfunding platforms, they have censored conservative campaigns. They blocked them under left-wing harassment. Old Glory Bank is the anti-cancel bank. They're pro-America. They're pro-conservative. They're against cancel culture. So they've started Old Glory Alliance. Crowdfunding without the politics, Old Glory Alliance is the ideal place to raise money for patriotic causes and ones where you can't get canceled. And the Old Glory Bank account for the campaign you've started is FDIC insured, up to $250,000. You can contribute to the fundraiser, anybody can, but to start one, you need to be an Old Glory Bank customer. So go to oldglorybank.com and start your bank account. You get no fee checking, no fee savings. It's a great bank. And then go to oldgloryalliance.com, oldgloryalliance.com. Now listen, I got to brag about Old Glory Bank. It really is my bank. They're super innovative. They've got a lot of technical features that are so handy. Really, really genuinely enjoy having them as my bank. And they really are my bank. I've got a checking account and I got a savings account with them. I've never had a fee taken out by the bank. They're great to work with. OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Yeah. Cooking. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. I got folks who have been on hold. I want to do my best to get through calls that I can here. Yvonne, you're going to be up next. Welcome. Sorry to make you wait so long.
That's all right. You're worth the wait.
Thank you.
I think I started listening to you after Rush passed. So I have a question, and I know you would be the one to have an answer.
Okay.
With all of President Trump's rallies and just the tens of millions of patriots that are there, has anybody thought or attempted to register voters while they're there?
My understanding is yes. The RNC and others have been registering the new people who come to these rallies. There tend to always be voter registrations. The Democrats and Republicans do it. The difference is that Joe Biden can't get people to show up at his rallies. And Trump is getting a massive number of non-voters showing up, people who've never been engaged in the process. Now, the cool thing, Yvonne, is not only are they registering them to vote, but they're keeping in contact with them to remind them, hey, you're now at the point, here's how to get your absentee ballot. Do you need any help? And then following up with them, don't forget to go vote. Here's how you vote. Here's where you vote, that sort of thing, to keep them informed. It's been very useful.
That's awesome, because in non-small groups, we can't cover all that many people or that much ground. And I hadn't heard anybody say it, rally, so I wondered if it ever came up.
Yeah,
I knew you would know.
Well, look, I'm happy to answer it for you. Thank you for calling. Yeah, they're doing it. They're doing a good job of it at the rallies. Jack, you're next. Welcome. How are you?
I'm sorry, which name?
Yep, Jack, it's you.
Oh, yeah, you got me. The immunity decision extends to presidential staff, I think, to some degree. Is Peter Navarro going to be out for the 4th?
No, he won't. So the way the decision reads, it's only applies to the president. However, that being said, it will also apply to cabinet level officers who are carrying out the will of the president. Now, the Navarro situation is somewhat different because his was about cooperation with the January 6th and the like, and January 6th committee in Congress. and outside of his tenure in office. So that doesn't actually apply. But I'll tell you who it applies to that conservatives won't be happy with: Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas. You can't send him to jail for how he's carried out border functions. Dwayne, you're going to be the last caller. Welcome.
Thanks. I'll try to be brief, but I'm going to predict. I disagree with how you're saying things might go, but it's what you said last week. Okay, so this is mainly based. I don't think Biden's going to physically be able to make it to November, especially if he has to campaign. Okay, so I think they're going to get him past the convention so they still have all the money and they avoid the chaos. And then it's going to be time to take the keys away from Grandpa. Okay, they're going to get Kamala to fall on her sword or take a Supreme Court post or something. They're going to come up with some golden, maybe not a golden boy, but some golden candidate that they can sell. As y'all wanted something other than these two guys, here's something else. And so they're going to try to get elected somebody who did anything, who did not ever go through a primary process. Tell me what you think of that.
Okay, so if they get rid of Kamala, they have a problem because the Republicans have to approve a vice president. They control the House. It goes to the House. So if you put Kamala on the Supreme Court, for example, you get Sotomayor out, you put Kamala Harris on, you've got to get the House Republicans to approve your VP pick. Now, the logic there, to your point, it's only logical for Biden to go through the campaign, go through the convention, and then drop out. But you got to have Kamala there. Now, the alternative is you decide you're going to put Kamala on the Supreme Court. Then the Democratic governors and the existing Democratic presidents and the Democratic leaders in Congress under the Democratic rules would be the ones to pick the candidate. They could do that. But I suspect there would be backlash from the American public for going that far, insisting he's staying. I don't think the American public would like the shenanigans, particularly if you're running on Donald Trump as a threat to democracy. You've just gone through a democratic process to pick your nominee, and now you're saying, screw democracy, we're going to go a different way. That kind of blows up the entirety of the Democratic campaign in November to do that. It's more likely that he's dropping out right now, but I just don't see it happening. I think these are the candidates we're going to have on the ballot in November until something changes with polling dramatically.